Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So, happy Easter. This is a glorious time. We remember Christ's resurrection from the dead, and we're on the fifth day of the Divine Mercy Novena. We pray everything in the divine will. Great things are coming. Great things are happening. And not to be discouraged. This is one of the things that the evil one wants to have to us. He wants us to be discouraged because that leads to despair. And you have to fight discouragement as you would fight hell itself. Discouragement is not part of our life. Our life is Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. And with this joy, we really begin to live the life that St. John Paul II told us to live. He says, we are a resurrected people. We rejoice in the fact that death no longer is death. It's the doorway to eternity for us. And we rejoice in the fact that our Lord is asking us to live at this time, which is difficult. And he's asking us to begin to live the life of peace, joy, and happiness, to live this abundant life. So today we're continuing with the resting in the arms of Jesus. And again, life is tough. But as St. Joan of Arc said, we were born for this day. We were born to live at this time. And that means that God is going to take care of everything. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. And we say very powerfully every day, Jesus, I trust in you. Our hope is in him, and Christian hope is certitude. It's not just wishing, but it's an actuality. And the Lord knows that we need him. And so what he's done is he's given us the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, Louis Picaret and the Divine Will in these times. And it will be tough, but with, as Jesus says, it will be like giving birth. You know, the pains will become more intense. The pains will become more frequent. But then all of a sudden the child is born or the kingdom is here. And if you read volume 24, Jesus says that all of a sudden the kingdom will be here. He says, as if by magic, all of a sudden, bam, here it is. Here's the kingdom. And everyone's going to say, how did this happen? How did the kingdom come on earth? What was the event? And the event was Louisa, God giving to Louisa this gift and us linked to Louisa. And so Jesus tells the little children, the Holy Divine, well, you must be the yeast. You remember the Lord said to the apostles, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. It was death. It wasn't truth. But he says to Louisa, the most important thing to him is to be the yeast. So the divine will in the midst of your family, in the midst of your friends, in the midst of your neighbors, in the midst of your parish, you have to be the ones who are peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy and happy. That's heaven, where we trust in God, believe in God, hope in God, have confidence in God. Where we pray the rounds of adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him and worshiping him in the name of everyone and everything. And everyone else in the world is the flower. Now, when you mix the yeast with the flour, everything arises, if you want to say it, is risen. And that's what Jesus says. You have to be the yeast in the midst of your family. That doesn't mean if they're not reading the divine will, you give up on them. No, you live. We live a life of peace, joy, and happiness in these troubled times. Because Jesus says he must purify his church. He must purify the world. For those that are going to live in this kingdom, everything has to be purified. He says the kingdom is so beautiful, it's so holy, it's so perfect that the world must be purified. The church must be purified. Now, I know some people say, well, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We don't have to worry. You don't understand what that means. It means an all-out attack against the church. And it's the devil, the evil one, is not going to win. Our job is to have trust in God, hope in God, confidence in God, with this universal life, this Catholic life that our God wants us to live. So today we're beginning in volume 19, June 20th, 1926. So Jesus says, you too are the little baby who has so much cried and longed for her Jesus. So here, Jesus is saying to us that, yes, we long for Jesus. We desire Jesus. We want to be with our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. This is why we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. This is why we go to Holy Mass. It's to be with Jesus, to look at Jesus in the monstrance, to look at Jesus. When the priest holds up the host, this is the Lamb of God. You know, we don't turn our heads and we look at Jesus. Look, here is the Lamb of God. That's what John the Baptist said. When he saw Jesus, he pointed, look, there's the Lamb of God. And that's what the priest does at Holy Mass. And we look at Jesus. We long for Jesus. As he says here, you too are the little baby who has so much cried and longed for her Jesus. The closer you get to our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, the closer you get to him, the more you long for him, the more you look for him. And that's what the rounds are. See, the rounds are in rounds of creation. That's why you fuse yourself with the rounds of creation in the morning when you do your prevenient act. You fuse yourself with the Holy Trinity. You fuse yourself with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, the three who Jesus and Mary, the life of Jesus and Mary was given to Louisa. So you fuse yourself with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, and you fuse yourself with creation. You fuse yourself with redemption. You fuse yourself with sanctification. You become one with it. You enter into fusing yourself with this great gift of the divine will. Okay, so in the rounds of creation, Jesus says, I want to live again on earth in you. Remember, that's the three presences of Christ. Saint Bernard talks about that in the first week. I think it's Tuesday of the first week of Advent. He says there's three presences of Christ: Christ born, Christ number one, Christ returning. That's number three. But in the middle, Christ one with us, fused with us, living in, with, through, and for us, as we are in, with, through, and for him. This is the yeast. This is the joy that we have with Jesus. It's not to be born again, but it's to be born again and again and again and again and again. Every time we praise him, he says, I want you to be born to a greater life, a more beautiful life. And that's what he does with Louisa. You know, Louisa would say to Jesus, why do you crucify me and I die and then I come back to life again? And Jesus says, I'd love to see my children be reborn over and over and over again, because there's more that he gives. It's not the same birth. It's a continuous rebirth in Christ. And this is what the Lord is asking of us. He's asking us to allow him to lead, guide, and direct us. So in creation, Jesus says, I want to gaze at what the Father has done through your eyes. I want to listen to what the Father has done through your ears. I want you to enter into my desires, the divine desires, not the human desires. I want to so transmute you so that you begin to become one with me, where I change you completely inside and out into a completely different element. The element that Jesus says he wanted for Adam in the beginning. Okay, so God is saying to us, are you longing for me? Because Jesus says that to the apostles. He says, I remember years ago, it's about 20 years ago, this one person said to me, you know, you're expecting Jesus to return today, you know. He's not going to return today. And I'm going, that's the longing for Jesus. Jesus says, I'm going to return for those who long for me. I'm going to return for those souls who look for me and desire me. If we aren't anxiously awaiting Jesus, he says, I can't come to you. I have to give you what you're longing for. What is it? Is it things of the earth, things of the flesh, things of the devil? If this is what you want, I have to give this to you. But if you're longing for Jesus, if you're longing for that universal life, if you're longing for this great gift of the divine will, Jesus says, I'm going to come to you and give you what you're longing for, what you're looking for. So again, we should be eagerly awaiting Jesus, eagerly awaiting Jesus. And that doesn't mean we are in any way wrong when he doesn't show up tomorrow, because he might show up for some of us, because our life on earth is very short. And Jesus is asking us to believe in him, to trust in him, to have faith in him, to have confidence in him. Why? He's our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. So this is why he says this. You too are the little baby who has so much cried and longed for your Jesus. But as soon as you have me, your tears have stopped. And flinging yourself onto my lap, you have attached yourself to my breast, and victorious, you have suckled my most holy divine will and my most divine love. See, the divine will is divine love. Jesus says, dive into this infinite ocean of divine love. That's the divine will. We're going to dive into this. And he says, I never want you to leave. I always want you to participate in this divine love. I always want you to possess this divine love of God. It's not fleeting. So here she says, as soon as you have seen me, your tears stop. And this is what happens to us when we read the book of heaven. As soon as we start reading, we're listening to Jesus. We're listening to Mary. And the things of the world are no problem at all. That's why he says, your tears have stopped. And flinging yourself onto my lap. Okay, so here we go to where Louisa always was, on the lap of the Heavenly Father, on the lap of Jesus, on the lap of the Holy Spirit. She was always there with the triune God, as Our Lady did. That's why she's the newborn, the firstborn in the divine will. Jesus lived one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So here, flinging yourself onto my lap, you attach yourself to my breast. Okay, here, God is feeding us as a good mother feeds her child. Victorious. See, this is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is the Eucharistic reign of Jesus, where we're one with God, and he's feeding us. He's nourishing us. We every day as we read, he's giving us more and more of this divine light, this divine love, this divine life. It's God that we are feeding, we're being nourished by God himself. As we read, see, Jesus is the Word, okay? Jesus is teaching Louisa the great gift of the divine will. And what's happening there is Jesus wants us to hear him speak. He's the Word. And as he speaks to us, as God said, fiat lux, let there be light, the universe was created. As Our Lady said, fiat mihi, echoing the Father's voice, the voice of Jesus, echoing that fiat, the incarnation took place. God became man. And now Jesus is saying to us through Louisa, the fiat voluntas tua, may your divine will reign on earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. So that there's no separation between heaven and earth. You begin to live this life of peace, joy, and happiness. You know, this great feast of Easter, this great feast of the resurrection, Jesus says, true resurrection is to be resurrected before you die. He says, you have to begin to live this life of peace, joy, and happiness before you die. So again, a lot of people say, well, I want to just get through this life so I could be resurrected at the dead. No, Jesus says, I want more than that. I want it to begin now. As the Word speaks to us, as we listen to Jesus speak to Louisa, everything in our life changes. Everything becomes more peaceful, more joyful, more happy. Why? Because this is what our God has planned for our time. Why? As Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of the evil one. That's why everything is happening in the church and in the world. And for a lot of people, they're seeing destruction happening all around us. Not to worry. God is winning. He's purifying the world. He's getting the world ready for the kingdom. The kingdom of God on earth, exactly the way it's in heaven. That's what's coming. So Jesus says, victoriously, you have suckled my most holy divine will, my most beautiful and pure divine love. We've entered into this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, that the saints longed for. They said, finally, we have a newborn who can begin to live the life that Adam lost when he committed the original sin. It's not to continue to live like this. And that's why Our Lady said to Bruno, my children are going to enter into eternity. The children of Lucifer, they will always be trapped in time and space, never be able to enter into the beatific vision. That's where we belong. That's the image and likeness of God. It's not just to be good and holy and saintly. That's for the saints. That's volume 1 through volume 10. But once you have to enter into volume 11, what happens at that point is Jesus is opening the door. Jesus is speaking to Louisa. The word is speaking to Louisa about the new era that we're all going to enter into. The saints did not hear anything from volume 11 through volume 36. The saints heard over and over and over again what Jesus taught them from a human perspective. The Holy Humanity of Christ, volume 1 through volume 10. But once you get into volume 11, it's now through the to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, this second Pentecost is coming, if you want to say. A new era for all of mankind is coming. And our Lord is saying to us, are you ready for what I am going to do? He says, I'll help you. If you just sit down and listen, and I'll teach you step by step what I'm going to do, the why and the how this second Pentecost is going to happen. That's volume 11 through volume 19. And then volume 20 through volume 36, which really no one had, not even St. Honorable de Francia. No one had that. Why? In God's wisdom, it was captured, if you want to say, and hidden in the secret archives of the Vatican. God allowed this to happen. He wanted it to happen. Why? We had to learn really from basically the 30s when this was printed. I remember Germany, I remember seeing the book of volume 1 through volume 19 in German in the 1930s. It was almost as if when they burnt all the books in Germany in the 30s, it was they wanted to get rid of this book. Let's burn all the books. Why? In German, they were the first nation next to the Italians that had the Book of Heaven, volume 1 through volume 19. But volume 20 through volume 36 came out in 1996, and God waited for this time, and then what did Our Lady say to Father Gobi? Our Lady speaks to her beloved priests. Our Lady said to Father Gobi in December of 1997, everything's complete. Everything now is known. And so what happened in 1997? Well, the first group of people who read the Book of Heaven was a Acuña's group in Mexico City, where Our Lady said to Bruno, Our Lady said to Father Gobi, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary will begin in Mexico City. Okay? They were the first ones who have read 1 through 19 in Italian. They knew it. They studied it. And then they had volume 20 through volume 36, and they were the first group to go through all 36 volumes. So what happened? The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary began in Mexico City. Look at all the suffering that they went through against the Holy Church, the mass executions that were happening there, you know, in the 20s. Again, what the Lord is showing us is that everything is ready. Because our Lord says, as soon as this book comes out to the world, the book of heaven, as soon as this happens, the face of the earth will be transformed. That's what's happening today. Finally, as people are reading the book of heaven, studying the book of heaven, as they enter into this gift, because Jesus is talking to you. You too are the little baby that has cried so much and longed for her Jesus. But as soon as you have seen me, as soon as you have heard me speak to Louisa, this word of God, he says, your tears will stop and fling yourself onto my lap. You have attached yourself to my breast and victorious, you have suckled my divine will and my love. That's where we are today. We are going to Jesus to be fed the first bread, to be fed of how and why the kingdom of God is going to come on earth as it is in heaven. And if you go to the Dawn of a Mystery, when you listen to Archbishop Beccheri, what does he say? He says, no one in the history of the church has taught us how the kingdom's coming on earth as it is in heaven. He says, this is Louisa's job. She's going to teach us how, what Jesus and Mary told her, how this is going to happen. It's not her fantasy. I mean, she would always say, is this just me or is it you, Lord? Are you telling me this? And Jesus would always assure her, I am feeding you. I am leading you. I am guiding you. And she says, okay, then I trust you. This is where we have to come to. We have to come to that point whether or not we believe what Jesus is saying. And if we believe what Jesus is saying, then we have to become awake. Okay, when the priest puts the drop of water in the chalice and he says, may we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. Are those just words? Or is the priest mean, does he mean it? Do we understand what Jesus is going to do? That's why John Paul II, at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, he says, now we're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. Those are the words of St. John Paul II. And I think it was May 14th or 16th of 2004, at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, where now we're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. That's for us, if we want it. It's for us, we can begin to live this peaceful, joyful, happy life. That's why to live the resurrected life means to begin to be so peaceful, joyful, and happy that whatever happens around us, we say, fiat. You're doing this for a reason, Lord. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're my King. I trust you. You want this. Okay, there's got to be a reason. I am peaceful. You are my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. I trust you. Jesus, I trust in you. And we've had that now for 21 years. 21 years since John Paul II gave us Divine Mercy Sunday. This should be part of our life. Every day at the 3 o'clock hour, we should be saying to Jesus, I trust in you. I believe in you. I have confidence in you. I want to dive into this infinite ocean of divine love. I never want to be separated from you. Jesus says this, as though in triumph, you have taken rest in my very arms. Okay, where's the triumph they make at the heart of Mary? It's resting in the arms of Jesus, resting in the arms of the Blessed Mother, resting in the arms of our Heavenly Father, resting in the arms of the Holy Spirit. He says, in triumph, this is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We become like her son, resting in her arms, resting in the arms of our Heavenly Father, resting in the arms of Jesus, resting in my very arms. And I, God, rocked you so that your sleep might be longer. And I, God, might enjoy my newborn in my own arms and triumphant. I, God, extend the kingdom of my most holy divine will in you. To go back to where Adam was before the fall. Now, you think about that. Our DNA is been corrupted. Our DNA now says you get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die because of the fall, because of the original sin. When God breathed into the dust, when that ruah of God, that breath of God, the Holy Spirit breathing into the dust, and what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. That's sharing in divinity. That's what our God has done. He says, I want my children to be in my image and likeness. So what the Lord is saying to us is, are you ready to enter into this kingdom that no eye has seen, no ear has heard? Are you ready to enter into this life, this universal life that I've breathed into Adam? This abundant life. So what did we do on Holy Saturday night? We said, oh, happy fall of Adam. Why are we happy that Adam sinned? Why are we happy because Adam fell? Because now we have the true life. We're going to have the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Oh, happy fall of Adam. Christ has now redeemed us. And now Christ, it wants to sanctify us. This is what the divine will is all about. And that's why, you know, when people have said to me, I'd like to blend in the prayers of the saints with the prayers of the divine will. This helps me understand this. That might be true. Everything points to the divine will. Everything in the Holy Church points to the divine will. But Archbishop Piccieri said, do not mix saintly things with this great gift of the divine will. The divine will is so pure because it comes from the mouth of Jesus, so pure because it comes from the mouth of Mary, that when you blend it in with the saintly things, the good things, the holy things, he says, you're not receiving that divine light, that divine life, that divine love of God, the purity of the divine will, that when God breathed into the dust. So I know that we've learned a lot from the saints. I know that. But what Jesus is teaching Louisa is a divine reality. Okay, it's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And what our Lord is saying is, I want you to enter into this abundant life. So he says that the saints, he says, you know, God, say let's just say God is the Son. Okay. He says the saints will surround the Son, praising God, adoring God, loving God, worshiping God. He says, but my children of the divine will, now that we're going into the third stage, will enter into the Son and participate in God. That's where Adam was. That's the life of the Blessed Mother. That's the life of Jesus. So Jesus is saying, I want to give you more than what I gave to the saints. That's why Saint Father Bucci, Padre Bucci said, he says, the church is going to know that Louisa is the saint of the church. When the people in Corrado called her Louisa la Santa, Louisa the saint, he said that the church will one day recognize Louisa as the saint of the church. Why? Because it goes beyond good and holy and saintly. It's sharing in divinity, which the priest says every day of Holy Mass. And our God is asking us to participate in this. Why are we worried? Why are we fearful? Why are we anxious? Why are we complaining? Why are we negative? If God is promising this to us, which I know I have seen, no ear has heard, we should be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. To begin to look at creation, let's go back to creation, the rounds of creation, as if you were in paradise, as if you were in the Garden of Eden. You begin that praise, that love, that glory of back to the Father with the eyes, the ears, the nose of Jesus. He says, I want to use your senses so that I am alive on earth praising the Father, and you can participate in this. I've heard people say, well, I'm in the divine will and I'm doing divine acts. That's nuts. A human doesn't do crazy things like that. God does it. God is divine, and he lets us share in his divinity. When people say to me, well, I've done my divine acts today, I go, you know, you don't understand what Jesus is saying. You can't do this. But one with Jesus and Mary through Louisa, God can do it in you. He is the one that performs these acts in us, in, with, through, and for us. This fusion with God, this oneness with God that God started with Adam in the beginning. This is why our Lord is saying, I will rock you in your sleep, and your sleep will be longer. And I, God, may enjoy my newborn in my own arms and triumphant. This is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And I, God, extend the kingdom of my most holy divine will in you. God is doing this. And when we listen to St. Louis de Montfort, St. Louis de Montfort says there'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world in the end times, because that's where we are. That's what John Paul II says. He says that to enter into this abundant life, I lost my train of thought. John Paul II said basically, we're in the end times. And St. Paul said it 2,000 years ago, we are in the end times. So John Paul II said, we are in the end of times. And it's wrapping up. So what does Our Lady do when she appears to Bruno? She says, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era where the evil one is in charge. So God is cleaning everything up. He's purifying the church and the world. He's ironing the dress of his bride. He's cleaning the stains off her dress. She will be beautiful. That's us. Jesus says, my little children, the Holy Divine, I'm going to give them, they will become for me my divine masterpiece, a masterpiece for God. So he says that the only way that this can happen is if I am reigning in you. Gazing in your gazing, listening in your listening, speaking in your speaking, dancing in your dancing, singing in your singing. He says, I want to be so one with you, so fused with you that you're sharing in my divinity. So when we do the divine will, it's Jesus in us that's doing the divine act. He's saying, come into my divinity so that I can do this for you. Participate one with me with you, so that you can be sharing in my divinity. That's what God has planned. And this is what he's saying to us. He says, and you are the tiny little dove that has gone around and around me. Now, it's really funny. Jesus called Sister Mary Ephraim, Our Lady of America, my little white dove. It's a reflection of the purity of God. So he says to Louisa, you are the tiny little dove. And therefore, he says to us, if you're one with Louisa, if you're listening to what I tell Louisa, you also can enter into this abundant life. And he says, and you also will be the tiny little dove that is going around and around me. This is the rounds of creation. This is the rounds of redemption. This is the rounds of sanctification. And while I spoke to you about my most holy divine will, manifesting to you the knowledges about the divine will, the promises, the teachings of the divine will, the goods, its prodigies, and even its sorrows, you beat your wings, hurling yourself over the many seeds that I, God, have placed before you. See, he's feeding us. So here he says in the earlier part, you attach yourself to my breast, and victoriously you have suckled my divine will. Now, he says, He says, I'm giving you like a bird. I'm feeding you. He's trying to make us understand that like this little bird, he says, you are hurling yourself over the many seeds that I placed before you. What are the seeds? It's the knowledges. It's the truths. It's the manifestations. It's the promises that Jesus gives to Louisa in this book of heaven. You're feeding yourself on these words that Jesus is speaking. How can you not be happy? How can we be complaining about anything? He did not give this to the saints, the great saints in the Holy Church. He says, what I've done is I've saved the best for last. And this is what he has given to Louisa and to us. Who are we? We're nobodies. We're nothings. Yeah, he says, now is the time that I want to give this to the world. He's got it all planned. And he's saying to us, do you trust me? Jesus, I trust in you. Do you believe in me? Do you have confidence in me? Jesus says. He says very clearly, he says, you make your rounds, going around and around, while I speak to you, as we are reading, Jesus is speaking to us about God's most holy divine will, manifesting to us the knowledges, the truths, the promises, the goods, the prodigies, the sorrows. And you beat your wings, hurling yourself over the many seeds that I, God, am feeding you with. The truths that the word of God is speaking to us. This is why Jesus calls the book of heaven the gospel of the kingdom. And he mentions that in Vine 24, Matthew 24:14, until the gospel is the kingdom is proclaimed to all the world. That's the book of heaven. See, it's not, there's nothing new with that God has given to the apostles about redemption. There's nothing new with redemption. This is about sanctification. Redemption is complete with Jesus rising from the dead. But what God is giving to us is a new beginning for the kingdom of God to reign in us on earth as it is in heaven. So this is what he says. And you grab them with your beak. He's saying, just like a little bird, and triumphant, you continued your flight around me. The flight is the rounds that you say every morning, every afternoon, every evening. It's to, and this is what Jesus is going to teach you. How to be outside, if you can go outside, and adore God and love God and praise God as Adam did, as Jesus did, as Mary did, as they taught Louisa, to allow God to so fill you with himself that you can recognize the beauty and the I love you in every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water, every chirp of a bird, every bark of a dog. And what happens is, as you go outside, Jesus will, if you're praying, Jesus will show us a dog barking. And you go, okay, for every bark of every dog, I love you, I praise you, I thank you. We become the voice of all creation. When a leaf flutters in the tree, every flutter is an I love you to God. He gives us these I love yous so that we can return these I love yous back to him. That's the rounds. You go around back to God in creation, redemption, and sanctification. That's what God is trying to teach us. That's why I love the prayers of the saints. But it's not divine will. It's doing the will of God. But to live in the will of God, this is what Jesus taught Louisa. So when you think about it, the rounds of creation, the rounds of redemption, the rounds of sanctification, it's to begin to live this life of feeding yourself with the first bread. Okay, Jesus says, I give you the Holy Eucharist, the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. Why? For 15 minutes. So that you can long, you can desire for the perennial communion with God. As Adam had, where we walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening. So what Jesus is saying to us is, you're receiving communion every day. Good, good. Learn what this is about. It's to adore God and to love God and to praise God and to thank God and to glorify God. But now with the divine will, he says, I want God. Jesus says, I want to reign in you to give to back to the Father the perfect love, the divine love in a divine manner. So it's Jesus in us. We do what Our Lady said, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you want, as you wish. It's not us trying to do what we want to do. It's docility, it's surrender, it's submission. Those are three words that are hated and despised today. It's our God is saying, let me reign in you. Let me be your Lord, your God, your Savior. I want you to participate. I want to give you this share in divinity, which the priest says every day at Holy Mass. He says, continue your flight around me, waiting for more seeds, more truths, more knowledges, more promises that he gives to Luisa to feed us with this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, which I, God, would place before you. This is his promise. He's going to do this if we wish. So all that he asks of us is read, just read, read every day, study every day. Let the Lord bring you to begin to share in divinity. He wants his life in us. He wants us not just to be a human, as which most people, I did it my way, but divine, the divine life of the new Adam, of the new Eve that they gave to Luisa. So we're learning this. And again, as you go through the Book of Heaven, as you read this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, you become filled with joy. Why? Jesus is speaking to you. You're longing for him. You have cried so much longing for Jesus. And now he has chosen us to be alive at this time. Again, we're nobodies. We're nothings. He says, and again, grabbing them with your beak, you nourish yourself victorious and continue your flight, manifesting the kingdom of my divine will. How do we manifest the kingdom of the divine will to our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners? By being peaceful, joyful, and happy. While the world is screaming in agony. The world, the kingdom is coming. He's closing this door to open another. What did the Pharisees and the scribes do when they saw the curtain of the temple torn in two? They lamented, how could this 2-foot thick curtain be torn? What's happened? How are we going to repair this? No, the church says it was the end of the Old Testament, the beginning of the New Testament. It's the same thing for today. How did the churches close for a year, going on 2 years? How? What's happening? The Lord's saying, I'm closing one door. I'm opening the gospel of the kingdom to the world. You have to understand the time we're living in. Time is now coming to an end, as Our Lady said to Bruno in the book, Our Lady of Revelation. The kingdom is coming. We should be filled with such peace, joy, and happiness that we are manifesting the kingdom of the most holy divine will to all our friends and neighbors. How can you be so happy? How can you be so peaceful? Don't you know what's happening? God's coming. The kingdom's coming. So my prerogatives are yours. Listen to that. God's prerogatives are ours. My kingdom and yours are one. We have suffered together. It is right that together we enjoy our conquest, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It is right that we enjoy this conquest, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's begun. God is saying to us, rejoice. Be peaceful, be joyful, be happy. This is a new era that has begun. And how do we know it? Because God has given us the Book of Heaven. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Luisa, that all the little children of the holy divine will become divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you and have a great Holy Easter week.